Hallelujah. Did you bring your Bibles and your notebooks? Because we're a training session. You're here to learn or you're going to end up burned. How many of y'all want to burn? How about get burned? How about have the devil use you to burn somebody else? Hello. That's three burns. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I'm a teacher and an enforcer. Everyone say, I'm an enforcer. I'm an eternal enforcer. Oh, that you might know who you really are. Hallelujah. Snap. Would you grab your swords, please? Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Glory. Starting at verse 1. Matthew 11, 1. Would you read it with me, please? Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to what? To what? Teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now listen, I want you to know that John was an enforcer, but he was a forerunner of the true enforcer, the internal enforcer. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. So he was a messenger. He was carrying everything ahead, preparing the way for Christ. He knew what his mission was and everything. It was his cousin. They were relatives. He finally met him on a day he was baptizing. And Jesus came and he knew. He said, here comes the Lamb of God. And when he came out to him, he says, man, he says, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And the Lord says, no, we got to fulfill Scripture. So he knew, right? And then he saw the works of Jesus. He saw, heard many things that he was doing. Well, they went after John because they couldn't get to Jesus. Are you listening? And they imprisoned John. I always utilize John as the old man, your old man. But while John was separated from Jesus, the enemy began to speak to him. One of the things began to happen is doubt, unbelief, and fear began to infiltrate. And let me tell you something. The longer you stay away from assembling, the more doubt, fear, unbelief begin to infiltrate. It happened to John the Baptist, who was in the spirit of Elijah. If it happened to him, it can happen each and any one of us at any time. Let's go a little further. In verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face. He will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by what? Force. This wimpiness of Christianity has got to be crushed. Be crushed. The enemy's taken hold of people's minds, taken hold of people's homes, taken hold of people's marriages, taken hold of people's lives. And they are spirit-filled believers. Because there ain't no boldness. They're not enforcers. Number one is they lack fellowship. They lack staying fed. Their spirits are contaminated. There's no strength in the spirit. The only strength they have is in their flesh. He said, For all the prophets and all the law prophesies until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ear, let him hear. Again, many people have been taken captive by the evil one. Messes with their minds and thoughts of doubt and fear, brings them off direction. John was an enforcer. He was an enforcing eternal message of grace. John the enforcer was a forerunner of the eternal enforcer. In John chapter 2. Remember, the enemy's always trying to interfere with your what? Mission. Your mission. Your mission. Forget your life. You don't own one. It's the mission that's more important than anything. Has everybody got it? It's the what? The mission. We don't have a life, do we? We have a mission. See, so many people are willing to fight for their life instead of fight for the mission or enforce it. Amen? John chapter 2, verse 13. John 2. Verse 13, let's speak it together. It says, Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep, doves and money changers, doing business. When he had made a what? Man, God Almighty made a whip. He said, I'm going to kick some butt here. He made a whip and... I love it. When he made a whip of cords, he what? He drove out. He did what? He enforced, didn't he? He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and turned over the tables. Let me tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can be darn sure that the enforcer, the Holy Spirit's going to start kicking over your tables. Everything in you that's alive, he wants dead. Because he can't use anyone that's alive. He's got to use those who are dead because he's the resurrection. Has everybody got it? He is resurrection power. That's why many people don't walk in power. They can quote scripture. They can do all kinds, they can witness. But they don't cast out devils, they don't lay hands on the sick, they don't move in power. And God wants us to move in power. Power is overcoming. What are you overcoming? Everything. In other words, there is no failure. We don't lose battles because we're enforcers. Does everybody get this? We're not to lose battles. We're to be enforcers, not losers. The reason why people fall, backslide, because they're not enforcing. They're not fulfilling their mission to enforce. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Verse 16. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Are you the temple of the Holy Spirit now? Then you are the Father's house. Then his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. He has a zeal for his house. See, this is his house, not yours. Now, it used to be Hotel California. All the rooms were filled, and they had rent free. Amen. But now the rooms are empty of the demonic and filled with the power and the anointing of Christ. The problem is people don't realize that some of the rooms aren't emptied yet. They pray in the Spirit. They talk about the things, but they got four rooms filled with the Spirit. And the other two rooms or three rooms are still filled with demonic activity, accursed items. We're to be enforcers of true righteousness, holiness. Jesus cleansed the temple. He is the eternal enforcer. Now I want you to understand something. If we're joint heirs with him, hello, what makes you? What does that make you? An eternal enforcer. Do you understand it? What are you doing? You're enforcing the eternal things of God in this realm. You are enforcing them. You know, last Sunday, when we prayed and commanded spirits to leave, and sickness and pain and so forth, I got a testimony. Somebody came up. I don't know. You know, I hear of a couple things that go on. But there was a messed up foot and whatever, and it was paining her. She was in pain. In fact, she couldn't even do certain things. She came here, and God healed her. As soon as I spoke, commanded those spirits to leave, her foot got healed. Does everybody understand that? It was enforced, wasn't it? Enforced. But it wasn't me. It's he who's in me is greater than he is in the world. Amen. That's all I'm doing is cooperating with the one who's in me. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, glory. Everyone say, I'm an enforcer of the eternal things of God. Hallelujah. This is powerful stuff. Let's start at verse 26. We'll get it right. All right, 22. Let's go to 22. Can I hear 23? 22, you will be hated. Hello. You will be hated. See, there are those who fight and those who blame. There are those who what? Fight and those who what? Blame. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Believe me. Even by your own brethren, you will be hated. Because they're no longer in the spirit with you. Does everybody understand that? You will be hated. Because they're no longer fighters, they're what? Blamers. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who what? Endures, fights, enforces to the end will be what? Saved. There it is. That's everything. You mean if I don't fight and I don't cooperate, I'm not going home? Absolutely not. Remember who you serve. When you die is where you go. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple like his teacher, and a servant be like his what? Hello, what does that make me and you? If Jesus is an eternal enforcer, that makes me and you an eternal enforcer. If they had called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. That means relationship. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. From your Father's what? Will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Praise God, I hope you return some of those. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. I got it down now, Papa. I'm going to wake up with a fro tomorrow. Praise God. I'll be like the flying nun. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now here's the kicker. Are you ready? Grab hold. Don't let this go. Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What's a sword for? To enforce. To what? Enforce. Ooh. For I have come to set a man what? I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So that means you got to lose your life. You got to lose your lust. You got to lose your desires of the world. Again, I'll never forget when the Lord said to me before he came to visit me, he said, Guy, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or you do want a new life? I realized what he was asking me. That decision was going to be the most difficult decision of my life. Why? Because I knew I could never go back. Before I could say, yes, I want a new life, I knew that going back was no longer an option. I knew it. I could not ever, ever go back. Because that was the question he was giving me. He put it all before me. If you want a new life, this is what it's going to be. you can never, ever go back. It can never, ever be an option. No matter what happens in your life, you can never let go of my hand or my will. Never. And then I will bring you home. And I said, I want a new life. And I thought it was over with. Then he said, show me. I said, what? And 2 months later, I showed him for 2 months. And then he came and visited me, healed me, delivered me. And I was never the same. See, I wasn't blaming anyone for anything in my stuff. It was me. I made the choice. I couldn't blame my wife, my ex-wife, my children. I wasn't going there ever again. Not going there anymore. Not going to what I had didn't matter. Because the end result of everything I had ended up gone anyways. What I used to be, how I used to be, didn't matter anymore. I wanted a new life. An absolute brand new life. And he gave it to me. And I never want to give this new life up. I'd rather die than go back. Hallelujah. We have been sent on a mission to fulfill not a piece of the world, but the peace of God. Hello. Why? Because you and I have been given a sword to enforce peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost in this realm, which is the kingdom of God. And where our fight is against the kingdom of Satan and self, again, we can either be fighters or blamers. Fighters or blamers. Hebrews 4. And he did not come to bring peace, but a what? Sword. And it wasn't to carve your initials in trees. Or fence. Anything. Hebrews 4. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that peace or that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. Everyone say the word of God is living and powerful. In other words, when God spoke, it's still going. It's not stopped. That's all he's asking you to do is connect with what's still moving. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrows, which is the body, and is a discerner. Everyone just say discerner. Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows before you even know. Before you can understand, before you even hear it, he sees it and knows it. He already knows. And it says in verse 13, read it with me. Come on, read it with me. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must what? We must what? Oh, nobody escapes the day of accountability. Nobody. It is the sword of God, known as also the sword of the Spirit. That's what Jesus brought. He came to bring me and you that sword to enforce the eternal things of God. Matthew chapter 4. Eternal enforcers. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Let's read it together, please. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Hello. Now let me tell you, when God sends you in to be tempted by the devil, He's not sending you in to be tempted. He's sending you in to enforce. Does everybody get it? He never sends me and you to be tempted. He sends me and you in to enforce. But let me tell you something. He's not going to send you if He knows you're not ready. But people will send themselves because of pride. I'm ready. Okay. They go into the crack house. I'm going to go rescue someone. Next thing you know, you got to go rescue them. Hey, I'm going to do deliverance ministry. That's nice. Now you need deliverance. Pride. I want to be somebody. Listen, everyone say, I already am somebody. You don't have to prove nothing to anyone. You already are somebody. God has called you and predestined you to be an enforcer. Now you got to walk in it. There's training for reigning, isn't there? Oh, glory. Now let's look at this. Verse 2. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after He was hungry, and when the tempter, hello, the tempter, anybody ever been tempted? Every single day. When the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are truly an enforcer, if you are an eternal enforcer, believe me, He is not going to let you just get away with what? Soon as you get something from God, He's there to steal it. Soon as you've been encouraged, He's there to bring discourage. Does everybody get this? He doesn't want you to get one step advanced. Not one step. Soon as you receive something from God, He wants to steal it. He doesn't want you to take the next breath before He can attempt you to get rid of it. Does everybody get it? Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become what? Become what? Bread. But He answered and said, read it with me. It is what? What was He doing? He was enforcing, wasn't He? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the what? From the mouth of God. Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple. And He said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil loves to use scripture, you know. Come on, God said to go out and rescue everyone. Go ahead. Go on that bar. You know, that bartender, he needs Jesus. No kidding. But it's my father. It's my brother. It's my mother. I can't do those things to my family. You see how people get soulish? What will they think of me? Who cares? What does he think of you? They're going to talk about you anyways. You might as well give them something good to. Hello? Man, you wouldn't believe God, Dan. He came in here and rebuked me. Told me I have a demon of nicotine. I don't think I do. Smoke coming out of their ears, man. They had a cigarette up each nostril, one in the mouth. Even a devil will use scripture to try to manipulate you. He tried it on Jesus. It is written. Man, I'm surprised he didn't fall over and laugh like crazy. You idiot. It is written. He shall give His angels charge over you, He says. And in their hands they're going to bury you up. Come on, jump off that cliff, homie. lest you dash your foot against a stone. And again, Jesus responded as an enforcer, it's written, it's written, it's written, it's written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. The devil didn't understand that he was just tempting the one that made him. He didn't get it. He didn't get that he was tempting his creator. Jesus said, just, okay, come on. It's written, dummy. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory, and he said, then all these things will be given to you. Come on. You can have it all. You can have fame, fortune, everything. You can have it all. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. People have no idea that they worship demonic forces. When you rebel, you worship the enemy. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now look at this. Then the devil what? How many times did Jesus have to rebuke him? Three. So many people, devil, go! Okay, he ain't got nothing on me. And he's all over them. Go away! Shoo! Slew foot. These are all kinds of names. I command you to go, you stinky thing. That ain't doing nothing. It does nothing. He laughs. See, he knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're at. What about the demons? When the priests were trying to cast them out, the religious ones. And then what did the demons say? Listen, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who do you think you are, homie? They ripped his clothes off. They went out butt naked out of that place. The devils know whether you know who you are. They know. They know whether you're an enforcer or a blamer. They know. They know whether you're a grumbler and a complainer or an enforcer. Let me tell you, you grumble, complain, you got no power. None. There's no power in grumbling and complaining. Well, what are you doing? You're feeding the demons. That's all you're doing. Why? You're blaming man. When you're not seeing, it's the unseen. You should be attacking the unseen, not the person. Well, you don't know what what's-his-name did to me, or what she did to me, or what, how she treats me, or what or he treats me, or what my wife did, or what my... Oh, shut up. I don't want to know either. Fight. Fight. Don't blame. Fight. Become an enforcer. Things aren't going to change with man's influence. They change with God's influence. Amen? Hallelujah. To enforce eternal destiny, God has given me your sword. And enforcing this eternal destiny, what we're doing is we're cutting back the enemy of deception and making available access to mankind who've been taken captive. Why? So then we can cut those who've been taken. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his what? enemies are made his what? Footstool. Who's going to make his enemies his footstool? Amen. Does everybody get it? That's why we got to start enforcing more. This not can be wimpy stuff here. You're not going out there with a wet noodle. You're going out with the sword of the Lord. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnessing to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws, my ways, my word, their hearts, and into their minds. Why? Because they are enforcers. And I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I won't remember anymore. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest forever, the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Ephesians chapter 6. Let us enforce the laws of God. They're in our minds and they're in our hearts. We are enforcers. Listen, if you can't keep yourself disciplined, how do you expect to enforce something else? Look at the demons know. They know whether you're disciplined. They know whether you're touching unclean things. They know what's coming out of your mouth. They got records of everything you've done. That's why they tempt you from your past. God doesn't remember, but they do. They got a whole library of your life. I'll never forget when I got saved and so forth, and I was delivered and healed and everything, and I was going to a church. I was tempted by witches on the side of the road. One of them's car broke down, and she had a Bible on top of her dashboard. I thought, "Wow, man, what's the problem?" I walked over to her, and she told me that her transmission or something went out. And she said that she lived about 10 blocks away or somewhere, and this happened right around the corner. I said, "Well," she goes, "do you have a phone?" I said, "No, but you can come and use the phone at the house." She came and used the phone at the house, and she started telling me all kinds of stuff and gave me a piece of jewelry, and I thought, wow, this girl really knows all kinds of stuff about the Lord. I was a baby. Come to find out it was an accursed item I had out, and she gave me, and I would be praying, and parts of the thing would pop off. The stones were coming off. I began to lose contact with the Lord, and this girl used to start calling me and saying, "I know these things are happening to you." I'm thinking, what the heck? And I kept praying. The Lord showed me it was in the scriptures that there was something wrong with this woman, and then she came over. She said, "Listen, I'm going to pray with you." And she came by the house, and she put her hand on my leg. I knew something was wrong. I said, "You're out of here, sister. Ciao." Then her husband showed up the next day and said, "Man, you don't know what I've been going through with my wife." I said, "What do you mean, man?" He says, "She practices white witchcraft." I said, "Whoa." And she had tongues and all kinds of stuff. It seemed very spiritual. And then after that, two other ones showed up. In fact, they even showed up in church. And as my wife and I were walking out of church, they stopped me and said, "Aren't you're a guy, aren't you?" "Yeah, you're the dude that had a visitation from the Lord." I said, "Yeah." "Well, you know what? We know all about you." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, you were in the middle." They knew everything of my whole life. And they wanted me to go with them. One day they came by my house and wanted me to go to a funeral with them. I said, "You're out of your mind. I ain't that stupid. I'm a baby in Christ, but I ain't that stupid." Anyways, they ended up leaving town and everything. He ended up leaving town. He ended up divorcing his wife and all kinds of. One of the sisters died that was associated with them and everything. Listen, this is not a game. This is reality. This is real. They want to kill you, destroy you, steal everything from you, and use you for food. This is real. It's not a game. And so many people pet evil. Oh, Jingle, just play with evil a little bit here. Let me just pet this gargoyle. Whatever it is. the Cyclops, one-eyed idiot. Let me just read this book. I won't read the cover. It says Playboy, but I'll just look at the pictures. Hello. Ephesians 6. I tried all of that stuff when I was in the world. Get offered drugs, all kinds of stuff. Man, you want some coke? No, man, I don't do coke, but let me smell it. You mind if I smell it? I used to really say that to people. I was in the coke. I was in the drug world for 20 years. I was dealing coke, doing coke. The dude knows me, man. You want to try some of this? You do this way? No, man. Just let me smell it. Ephesians. Somebody give my wife a hand. You haven't heard that one in a while, huh? She used to be with me. But you didn't? Must have been somebody else. Right, she used to be. Never mind. Get her up! Poor girl. Be. Hallelujah. Welcome to Tuesday night training session. Tuesday night live. Ephesians chapter 6. Somebody bring her in another room, please. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Sure got hot in here, didn't it? Anyways, verse 10, let's read it. Dear God, help me. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord. In the what? Power of His might. Poof. Put on what? The whole armor of God. He didn't tell you to put on a dress, did he? Put on a dress and change your name. Hallelujah. That way you can infiltrate. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Hallelujah. Told you it was Tuesday night live. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. Everyone say stand. Against the wiles of the devil. That's trickery. That's deception. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hello. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Oh, God, help me. I know I can do this. Oh. Okay, we're eternal enforcers. Anyways, 13, would you read it with me? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand! Stand therefore, having what? Girded your waist with the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the what? Well, let me tell you, this doesn't sound like somebody that's going to a gay revival, man. This sounds like a warrior, an enforcer. Hello? And take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in tongues. That's what that means. In tongues. Whew. Which is the word of God. Amen. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now look at this. Here we're getting something important, okay? Not that it's not all important. For me that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth with what? Boldness. Forcefulness. Enforcer. To make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Everyone say, I'm an ambassador. Well, we got through that one. Praise God. Whew. Go to Mark 12. Hallelujah. We're to stand, withstand, attack, defend. We are internal enforcers. Dressed with the eternal armor. Listen, you and I have been, I want to grab hold of this. You and I have been given creative words and destructive words. Life and death is in the what? Power of the tongue. See, when you and I are backed by heaven and we are utilizing the word of God, what did Jesus do when he walked by the fig tree? He didn't pet it, did he? It wasn't bearing any fruit. What did he say? He cursed it, and it withered and died. He said it was useless. He said it'll never bear fruit again. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you have the words of creation and the words of destruction in your mouth. That's what's called the sword of the Spirit. So we want to destroy all sickness and disease, don't we? And we want to call creation the things that are out of God's storehouses. Like legs, eyes, arms. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Is everybody okay? Matthew 12. Is everybody there? Okay, Mark 12. Is anybody there? Mark 12. 23. Verse 23. Mark 12, verse 23, God willing. Jesus was tempted by the Pharisees, religious, and the devil. Let me share something with you, very important. There's the area where you're battling within you. Amen? That's trying to rebel against God's voice and God's word within you. Then there's a battle that you got to deal outside of you where people say, that will never happen. You can't do that. You'll never be like that. You won't amount to anything. Well, look what the world says, once an addict, always an addict. They put people who have fallen into pedophile or whatever it is, sexual things. Look at it, it's a demon. That's all it is. Homosexuality, demon. All of these things are demons. That's all they are. Anybody can get free from them if somebody's willing to enforce it. Does everybody get it? Somebody's willing to enforce it. You must be willing to enforce it. That means there's no failure. There's no compromise. There's no, well, what if? No. When you enforce it, it's enforced. You see it all the way through till it happens. Amen? So Jesus was being tempted by the Pharisees, and they were asking Jesus in verse 22. It says, seven had this woman, she'd been married seven times, and left no offsprings. The last of the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. Now, this was not at one time. Does everybody understand that? This was a period of time. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. They do not know the scriptures nor the power of God, so they can't enforce nothing. Does everybody get that? Not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. So they see, the devil knows whether you know the scriptures and know the power of God. He knows whether you're able to enforce or not. And even when you attempt to enforce, he's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you, challenge you, challenge you inwardly and outwardly until you give up. Give in. Give up. And surrender your soul back to him. We must be enforcers. Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. In other words, they're changed. Is everybody okay? Not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Everyone say, I'm an eternal enforcer. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Eternal enforcers. Is everybody there? Let's read a start of verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What does he say? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Look at this. Convince. Is that enforcing? Rebuke. Is that enforcing? Exhort with all long suffering and what? Teaching. In other words, don't quit. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they will drift, fall away. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they'll gather together with the same belief system, a flawed one. They will come together with those who agree with them. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. Look at this. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of a what? Do the work of a what? Enforcer. Everyone say, do the work of a enforcer. Fulfill your ministry. 1 Timothy 5. Now we see it happening now. People are falling. Falling from the faith. Taking heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Really not wanting a new life. I call a believer that really doesn't want a new life a hybrid. They're half and half. They're half dead and half alive. Actually, there's another name I call them. I'll use it in the next verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 17. What does it say? Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. and the laborer is worthy of his what? Wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Now, two or three witnesses mean two or three people that are right with God. It's amazing how many people will say something about an elder or those in authority in the kingdom off of Facebook, Fleshbook. They'll say all kinds of things about someone. And of course, they're not walking. They're not even in divine order themselves. So don't take anything that you know someone's out of order. Don't take anything from that person of any suggestion. Nothing. They can't offer you nothing. Because they're speaking out of their own flawed belief system and their own perceptions, which are flawed. Verse 20, he says, those who are sinning rebuke in a what? In the presence, it didn't say private, did it? Those who are sinning rebuke where? In the presence of who? All. You know, if the church started doing more than that, I think things would be changed. So don't be offended when I call you out. Amen? It's time to cut the garbage. Time to grow up. Therefore, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may what? Fear. Fear. Everybody okay? Go to Titus 1. This is enforcing. Does everybody get this? We are enforcers. No more games. This is not pity. This is, you want a new life? Get it. Jesus is coming sooner than you realize. We don't have time. Wishy-washy. Fighting for your own life. Titus 1:10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the house of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them what? Sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, verse 12. Second Peter 2, verse 12. Let's speak it together. But these are like natural brute beasts, made to be what? Caught, exposed, and destroyed. Speak evil of things they do not understand. Do you ever get around someone that speaks evil of things they don't understand? Oh man, that tongue's ain't, that's a devil. You're the devil. You ain't got no understanding. It's amazing how many preachers and so many people speak about the things coming against healing and coming against deliverance, coming against casting out devils and praying in spirits, the gifts of the spirits and miracles and so many things like that. You know why? Because they've never experienced it. So you can't give what you don't have. So when you experience something, you're able to give it. They speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness of those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Oh, they want to be your friends, but they have another intent. Having eyes full of an adultery that cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken a right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey. That's where these backslidden individuals become jackasses. Hello. Sometimes I want to say, you jackass, wake up. Why? What's a jackass? It's a male donkey. And it's also, in the dictionary, is a stupid person. But I don't go around calling people jackass. Just not a right thing to do, I guess. And donkey sounds a little bit better. But it's really not harsh enough. I think idiot is better. Hallelujah. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried away by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They actually escape. Now the devil draws them right back. Again, everything you gain, he's there to take. He doesn't want you to get one step. He does not want you to, your next breath he's trying to take from you. Well, they promise them freedom and liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him, also he is brought into bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment and deliver to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. I want to close at Luke 10. Overcomers. Or blamers. Does everybody get it? Enforcers or blamers, one or the other. Don't blame your sickness, get rid of it. Don't blame your problem, get rid of it. Why? It's spiritual, not physical. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke 10, 17. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together, please. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I what? Give you authority to what? Trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by all means hurt you. In other words, what did he just say? Go in force. Look at, watch this. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal himself. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which you see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. We have seen, we have heard, we have been given. Much is given, much is required. We need to stand up with boldness and begin to enforce. Don't get pushed back. You're to be pushing the enemy back. The enemy's not to be pushing you back. Amen? Eternal enforcers. Listen. You are called to battle. Everyone say, I'm called to battle. My purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. My destiny is to infiltrate the world system and enforce the eternal law. In Jesus' name. See ya.